Praise God, here we are at Watchman School of Prayer, and we are in class number 19. This is a spiritual warfare prayer 3, and we are doing sounds of warfare prayer. Before I start, I'm going to pray for those of you that are watching on the video or on the television and listening on audio. I'm going to pray. And Father, we thank you for this time tonight. We thank you, God, that everyone that's hearing, that everyone that's watching, and everyone that's here in class live is going to have a change in their understanding, a change in the way they hear and see things. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will impart revelation knowledge to them, and we thank you for that. And we bind up every power and principality, every assignment of the enemy of confusion, and anything that would even try to touch our equipment, we bind it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, let's do our scripture, Jeremiah 51:12, which is the Watchman School of Prayer theme scripture. Let's read it. And set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes. And we've got watchmen here and you out there that are watching and listening. God is raising you up to be a watchman. And in this day and hour, we certainly need to be watchmen with all the things that are happening. Now, I'm going to do a brief review of the last number of classes. We have been talking about spiritual warfare. And basically, I have said to you the basic definition, this is very simple, there's many more, would be spiritual warfare is taking your position against darkness. Now, I've mentioned this before. It is against light, against darkness, truth, against false. Very simple, all right? We studied on, in Ephesians 6:12, we studied on the powers, principalities, actually Satan's rank and file, learned how his kingdom operates. And you know, if you don't know how the enemy operates, how are you going to stop his tactics? Okay? So we studied on some of that. We have studied in the last classes the armor of God. And I hope all of you out there and listening and all of you in here have been putting your armor on every day or checking out whether your armor is on. Because without the armor of God, it's very difficult to fight the enemy. And then we talked about the many different weapons of warfare. There's many, many different ones. And so tonight, the first class tonight, we are going to be talking about the sounds of warfare prayer. And I want to just look at a scripture that you learned already in intercession, and we're going to look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 10. And this was a memorization scripture prior to today. If you didn't memorize it, you need to. And why do you need to? Because if somebody speaks to you about, oh, that's so dumb and the sounds don't mean anything, then you need to know what the Word of God says. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 10, let's all read it together. I'm reading out of the King James. 1, 2, 3, read. There are, it may be, so many kind of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. So very simply, every type of sound has a meaning. We studied this, we learned it, we even had tests here on it. Those of you watching, you probably didn't have a test. And so it says that every sound has a meaning. Now, you have to know what the meaning of that sound is according to what? According to the Word of God. You have to know what that sound is doing in the realm of the Spirit according to what the Word says about it. Not what you think or not what the sound sounds like. That doesn't mean anything. And when you know what it's doing in the Spirit, then what you do is you mix your faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to do anything. Amen? So you mix faith with the sound. We learn that. Now, in order to really have a strong prayer language and be able to fight the enemy or be able to pray in tongues and all the different sounds, God has to actually give you a revelation, or the Holy Spirit has to give you a revelation. That can only come by your own experience, by your own pushing into the things of God, studying and doing them. And as you do that, then you get a revelation on this, and all of a sudden, one day, you know, something will be going on and out of your belly will flow a war sound. And then another day, out of your belly will come a weeping sound. And you don't even realize that it's happening, because what's happening is you're beginning to walk in the Spirit of God. And so when you walk in the Spirit of God, He just quickens you at different times when something is necessary to be done. Could be praying in English. I'm not saying sounds have to be there all the time. But this takes time. This does not happen overnight. Now, we know that the sound has to do with the scripture, and also, very important, and we studied this, we had a whole class on it, on the blood of Yeshua. Let's look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 24, another memorization scripture. Hebrews 12 and verse 24, let's all read it together. 1, 2, 3, read. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, you're not loud enough, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Well, if you'd memorized it here in class, you wouldn't have to read it. Amen? So, you need to know this scripture. The blood of Yeshua speaks, it says. And it says it speaks better things than that of Abel. So Abel's blood spoke vengeance. Yeshua, Jesus' blood, speaks mercy. All right? The blood is on the mercy seat now, and it's moving. It's alive. And it speaks mercy, power, rule, dominion, victory, redemption, salvation. Amen? Speaks all those things. So it's important for you to know that. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 11. So we understand that now, even as we go into the sounds of warfare prayer, again, as we see what the scripture says, it's based on what the scripture says the sound will do, based on our faith in that, and on the finished work of the blood, the finished work of what happened that Yeshua did on the cross. Without that, the sounds don't make a hill of beans. We can do all kinds of sounds, it means nothing. You can yell, scream, intercess, but if you don't realize that it's doing something in the realm of the Spirit, you don't have a revelation of that, then that's what you need to work on. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you that, because as you get a revelation of that, all of a sudden the sounds will start to come out much stronger, because you know what it's doing in the realm of the Spirit. So in Matthew 11 and in verse 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So, if we're supposed to be little mealy mouse wimps, I don't think so, all right? I think the Lord has called us to be warriors. Because as we possess the kingdom of God here on the earth, many times we have to take it by force. Does that mean we punch somebody in the mouth? No, because what have we studied? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the powers and the principalities. So many times you have to take it by force. You have to, in the spirit realm, advance God's kingdom by praying through the situation, whatever that situation is. Now, we're going to look at some sounds of prayer, warfare prayer, and we're going to go back to a scripture that we also memorized first to start with, which is Hebrews 5, 7. And this was prayer that we saw Yeshua did at many occasions, but we're going to read it again. And you might say, well, this was intercession, where I learned this in the intercession class. How come this is sounds of warfare? Well, you know, intercession is warfare too. When you begin to pray and intercede, and you stand in the gap for someone else or for a situation, that's warfare. Why? What's the definition of warfare? It's the difference between light and dark, true and false. So intercession falls under those sounds. So you may be travailing, you may be weeping. That's a part of spiritual warfare sounds. It's not just all warring sounds, which we're going to study mostly about tonight. But you must understand that, because you're pushing the powers of darkness away from the situation. And it's part all of what happens. And you see in praying against the darkness, and you'll see here, Yeshua himself, he did this, as we know. So let's read this together, Hebrews 5, 7. 1, 2, 3, read. Who in the days of his flesh when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Now we're focusing in on, it says strong crying, and that word strong we learned before means forceful, boisterous, mighty strength. The word crying was an outcry, a scream, a shriek. That's a loud sound. And the word tears was a weeping, a wailing out loud. Now this is all sounds of also not just intercession, but spiritual warfare prayer sounds. Now let's look at Psalm 17. Now I'm not giving you every sound there is. I'm only giving you some of the places that it's listed. You can do a study on yourself on all these different sounds that you're learning. Psalm 17 and in verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goes not out of feigned lips. I'm going to read the same thing in the Amplified, Psalm 17, verse 1. Hear the right, my righteous cause, O Lord. In the Amplified it says, listen to my shrill, piercing cry. Give ear to my prayer that comes from unfeigned, guileless lips. And if you study the word cry out, and then the Amplified, it gives you really pretty much most of the definition. It means a creaking or shrill sound. A shrill sound. It's a very harsh sound. And also can be high pitch. It also, as I looked this in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew Tanakh, which is the Bible, it's a Hebrew Bible, and the translation of the words there are very similar. It says ringing cry. Now, when something is a ringing cry, it's pretty shrill, it's harsh, that kind of a thing. So, and also the word creak, I looked up in the Webster's, it means to utter a harsh cry. Now, not everybody is going to be able to make this kind of a sound just like that. And not everybody even has the anointing to do it. I can remember when I first learned all of these things and in the ministry that we studied under for many years, and I remember some of the ladies made these sounds, a few ladies that were very, very anointed. I thought, my goodness, I've never heard anything like that in my life. And the sound was so, it was like almost like an opera singer, and was so high. And I could feel, though, in the spirit realm, like we talked about, you have a little gun, and then you have, you know, a rifle, and then you have missiles, you know. I could feel in the spirit realm that that sound was going way up into powers and principalities like I've never heard in my life. And I began to pray and I said, Lord, I want to be able to do that. I want to do that for your kingdom. Well, it took me a while. I didn't try it, but I mean, I just believed God by faith. And one day I was praying over a situation, and all of a sudden out of my belly flow rivers of living water came this sound, this high shrill. And those of you that are here in school and that are in Watchman prayer, that pray, you might have heard me make it every once in a while, and it's like a real high pitched sound. Now I don't just do it whenever I want to do it. I do it when the Spirit of God leads me. Again, you have to be led by the Spirit. So this is a type of warfare sound. Now let's look at Psalm 102. Psalm 102 and in verse 20. It says, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Actually, if you read verse 19, it says, we're talking about God. He has looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Now we have the word groaning, which is groaning here. It's a deeper sound. But if you study this word out, it also means to shriek. It's another type of a sound. It's another type of a sound of desperation. And that is part of warfare prayer. If someone is bound, they're in darkness. They're being held captive, correct? So that means they need to get free. And many times what God will do, he will use you and I to intercede for those people, and you will begin to pray. It might even be somebody in your family, and you begin to break the powers of darkness over them. And we're going to be learning more about how we do that also with our bodies next in the next couple of classes in praise and worship warfare prayer. But you begin to pray that, and a sound begins to come out of you because it's the power and the Spirit of God working through you, and the feeling of the Lord that he has over what's happening over the situation of the people. If you remember in Romans 8:26, it says God's Spirit takes hold together with our spirit, works together. So remember, his Spirit and our spirit, we're together here. So when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, then these things become part of your life. It's not a foreign thing, all right? For most places, they never even get to learn about any of this. And it's all kinds of weapons that God has given us. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for those weapons. I could not live without them today. Let's look at Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah 4. And I'm going to look at this both. I'll read it out of the King James first. Jeremiah 4, and we're going to look at verse 19. And it says, and we see the prophet Jeremiah crying out here. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet. It should say sound of the shofar. The alarm of war. That actually should say shofar. It is a shofar. And in the Amplified, the same scripture in Jeremiah 4:19, it says, it is not only the prophet, but also the people who cry out in their thoughts. Now, this is important because many times people will say, and if you're watching on the video and listening, oh, this is just for leadership, or this is just for certain people. No, it's for everyone that has a heart after the Spirit of God. God has called all of us, you out there, and to be an intercessor. That is the highest level that anybody can ever attain. More than what I'm doing here, even just teaching, standing in a pulpit, or reaching out to you in the nations on the video. More than that, the calling of an intercessor on your life is the most and highest level call there is. Never let anyone make that low. It's the highest level. And there was never a prophet that became a prophet that was not an intercessor first. In other words, they were an intercessor before they were really a prophet. So here Jeremiah is saying in the Amplified, it's not only the prophet, but also the people who cry out. My anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart. My heart is disquieted and throbs aloud within me. I cannot be silent, for I have heard the sound of the shofar, the alarm of war. Now, I just want to give you some definitions of some words here. I told you that the word trumpet actually is shofar. So you want to make sure, and that's, you know, shofar is a very powerful weapon of God. It is a war weapon besides being a voice for God. It's a war weapon. When we sound the shofar here on Saturdays, we are declaring war in the heavenlies besides declaring let's come in and let's have service. Amen? And then the word alarm means a shout or blast of war, a clamor, a battle cry. And it comes from another root Hebrew word. And this is important that you understand what I'm about to say. I'm not giving you the Hebrew because I don't think that's so important for you to know. But the root that these words now that I gave you come from is to mar, M-A-R, or to split the ear with sounds. To split the ear with sounds. Now, if anybody heard that definition, I think it would be pretty loud. To split the ear with sounds is a very loud sound. And so you see that the sound or the alarm of war is a very loud sound. It's very clear. And this is the type of sound it is. And it comes from our voices. God has given us a voice box. And everything we do has a sound. And without sound, there's always a signification, something, it means something. Now in Psalm 89, let's just go there. Psalm 89, and in verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Now this is a very interesting scripture. Because the word sound here really is the word alarm. The same as we just learned. So you could say, blessed is the people that know the joyful alarm. In other words, the war alarm is not something to be afraid of. It's something to be joyful about. How many times have I said, you have to learn the love to fight devils? Amen? And it says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound or the alarm. And the sound is the same meaning that we just learned in Jeremiah 4:19. It's the same thing. It's a battle cry. It means to split the ear with sounds. And in the Hebrew Tanakh, the scripture reads like this. Praises to the people who know the shofar's cry. Praises to the people who know the shofar's cry. And the shofar's cry many times is a sound of war, not just a sound of repentance. But in other words, it's telling you, when you hear the shofar and you discern, is it a cry of war? Is it a cry of repentance? Is it a cry to come forth, to come together? You have to know the sound. You must know the sound. And that goes back to what I said in the beginning. Knowing what every sound does, why it's doing it according to the Bible, through the finished work of the blood of Yeshua. Now, demons hate loudness. And you need to know this. Devils hate loudness. Pastor Susan, show me that in the scripture. I can't show you that in the scripture. But I'm going to show you how Jesus loved loudness and how God loved loudness today, tonight. So you'll know if the Lord loves loudness, there must be a reason when he's coming against the enemy, why isn't he quiet? When we go into religious churches, you can't hear a pin drop, all right? You know, it's shh, holy place, nothing, shh, whisper. Now, there's a time to be quiet and to really seek God, but there's a time to be loud. And I can tell you, when you're coming against the enemy, if you're quiet, the enemy is not going to move. I talked to you about this before. If a dog is attacking your leg, you don't say, nice doggy, keep biting, but please move. No, get out of here, you would say. You know, you'd be doing something, right? Well, there's no difference when you're fighting the enemy in the realm of the spirit. You got to get feisty. And you have to rise up and be bold. I mean, God has given you that ammunition and that tool. You can't expect somebody else to do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your daughter, your son, your mother, your father, forget it. Your sister, your brother, no. You have to do it yourself. Well, I'm afraid. How do I do that? I'm afraid. I don't want to rise up. How could I rise up? Well, just do it. Faith without works is dead. Make a decision, you're going to be louder. Make a decision that you're going to do it. I guarantee you, when some of you like ball games or you go to some kind of fun place that you enjoy, you are loud. You are, yeah, yeah, whatever. So, why can't you get mad at the devil and get loud? Why do you have to be quiet? You see, God has given you a voice. God has given you a voice out there that are listening on the audio too. You have a voice. You must use it. You must rise up and take your authority, who you are in the anointed one, his anointing. You're going to see that tonight. You're going to see how the Lord is mighty. Well, we are to be like him. Now, if you're not like him and you're running around in fear, well, then you don't have faith. Because the opposite of faith is fear. And if you are afraid to get loud and afraid to fight the devil, then you have a spirit of fear. And the Bible said God's not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So you have to make a decision. Either you have faith or you have fear. Which is it? And if you have fear, then you are doubting God. And when you doubt God, that's nothing more than rebellion. It all goes back to that. Rebellion against God's ways. Well, I don't want to be loud, you know. That's so stupid. That looks so ridiculous. Oh, well, my father was never loud. Neither was my great-grandfather, my great-great-great-grandfather. I mean, they were in church. They were in congregation synagogues all their life. Really? Well, they probably never read the Word of God. So we have to make a decision that we're coming out of this. That we're going to change. And we're going to be the people that God has called us to be. Which is not wimps. Which is warriors. I mean, when you join the Lord, you join an army. You don't just join a sit-me-down club. Amen? Okay, Joshua 6. Joshua 6. Let's look at an instance here. There's so many examples in the Word of God that you can find on being a warrior, especially in the Old Testament. Powerful examples. Joshua 6. We all know this as the Battle of Jericho. And let's look at verse 5 and verse 20. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, there's the shofar, and when you hear the sound of the shofar, all the people shall shout with a great shout. Everybody say all.
All.
It says all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the shofar, and it came to pass that when the people heard the sound of the shofar, and the people shouted, notice the word people repeated three times already, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people, here it is again, went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now I want to stay on this just for a couple of minutes, because there's some real prophetic things in here that I want to point out to you. Number one, you have to see that the people did the work. Hallelujah. Not the leadership, not the priests, or not the fivefold ministry, pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, apostle. The people did it. All right? The leadership gave the orders. And the only part of the leadership that did anything were the priests who blew the shofar, which is part of the orders. And if you notice in verse 20, the word people is 1, 2, 3, 4 times. When God says something 4 times in one verse, I would really take hold of that. Why did he say that? He's trying to point out that it's no different today. The people need to do the work of the ministry. The people don't do the work of the ministry today. And if you're out there and you're not doing the work of the ministry and you're in some local church or congregation, I suggest you get involved and do what you're supposed to do. Because believe me, that's nothing more than rebellion either. You see, the people are the ones that are to do the work of the ministry. Unfortunately, in today's day and time, if you study it out, I think it's somewhere between 10 and 20%, maybe not even 20, maybe 10% of the people in the congregation that do the work of the ministry. And 10% the tithe. Now that's not my message, but I'm saying that. And if you're watching and listening, it's the same thing. But God calls the people to do it. God calls the people to come against the things of the enemy with the local body. Why? Because that's part of their job. It's just part of the leadership's job. And you notice that there was complete victory here. When the people did that, and it says they went together. If you go back even to verse 5, this was the original order. It says the people shall ascend. The people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. That word ascend means to advance straight ahead. Advance straight ahead. Well, that means that the people need to be moving forward in God at the same time together. Not just doing it when they want to do it. Oh, I'll just come to the synagogue, to the church, whenever I feel like it. Just when it's a holiday or when it's convenient. No, they need to be moving forward together. Why? Because that's how the kingdom of God advances. Is when the local people that are hooked together begin to advance together. And that's how you watch out for each other. You watch out for your brethren. And so today, we together spiritually, we shout and we war at the powers and the principalities that are coming against us together. We advance together. I remember a short story, same thing, about a powerful man of God, Pastor Ulf Ekman, over in Sweden. And I remember that they needed a piece of land to build a new church on. And he's a very powerful, strong warrior. He believes very strong in spiritual warfare. He actually studied some of the same people we did. And one day the Lord gave him this plan, and they were outside across the street from a piece of land that they believed God for. And he got everybody together. There was like 200 of them or something. I don't know, maybe 100, I don't remember. And they said, okay, he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to advance up to cross over this hill or across the street. And then when we get there, we're going to do this big shout. And it's just like this. And they went over there and they did this and they took over the territory of that side and they shouted together and warred. And sure enough, they got that territory, that building. They got actually the land and they built a building on it. But they took it together. They advanced together. Amen? So that's something that's important. Now, in war and in battle, we know that there are sounds that are heard. I mean, some of you may have been actually in battle yourselves. You may have been in an army somewhere. And you can know that even when you're training, there's sounds. There's always a sound. Right? So there is sounds that are heard in war and in battle. Now, in the Old Testament, the word war, and I've given you this before, I'm going to give it to you again, though, in Hebrew, is milchama, milchama, which is spelled M-I-L, for those of you that are interested, H-A-M-A-H. Of course, in the Hebrew lettering, it wouldn't be spelt like that. That's a transliteration. M-I-L-H-A-M-A-H. It is used 315 times as a noun in the Old Testament. And it means battle, combat. So war in the Old Testament, in the noun sense, means battle or combat. That's what you need to know. Not really the Hebrew so much. It means battle or combat as a noun. As a verb, it's used as a verb, which is called lacham. It's used 171 times. And that definition as a verb is to engage in battle. Now we're doing active stuff. To engage in battle, to fight, to wage war. Now let's look at Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15. And verse 3, it says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And in the Hebrew, in the Tanakh, I really love this. You may want to make a note of this, even right next to this scripture. It says, God, Elohim, is master of war. Master of War. Hallelujah. So, Master of War. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? If someone's a master of war, he must be really knowing exactly what to do, right? So, the word war in this particular scripture means the art of soldiering or combat. The art of soldiering or combat. Let's look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And Psalm 46 and in verse 7. It says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Verse 11 in Psalm 46 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." It's repeated here twice. And here it says again in the Tanakh, it says, "The master." Here it says now, not of war, but it says master of legions. The master of legions is with us. Now, the word hosts, which we see here in the King James, sabah, which is the same thing as the legions, this is what it means. A mass of persons especially organized for war. A mass of persons especially organized for war. An army. How many of you are in the army? Amen? Out there, you're in an army. Now, Yeshua, Jesus, is referred to as the Lord of hosts, or the Master of Legions, we could say, 245 times. Pretty powerful, huh? Now, today, we are His army on the earth. Until we get raptured and go to be the Lord, and then we come back as His army again. He got an army up there that's preparing. If you don't know it, they're preparing, you know. And so, we see that the Master of Legions, the Lord of Hosts, is the head of an army. A mass of persons organized to do something. Now, an army doesn't just get organized to just sit there, does it? An army gets organized to do something, is preparing for something. And that's what we're doing here as watchmen. And I love the fact that we've learned that God is the master of war. So He's the one that we need to have a type and shadow of how to do things. Everything we do is out of this word. And everything I'm teaching you, you'll see, is coming from the Word. It's not something I'm making up. It's right out of the Word of God. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In the New Testament, there's a lot of references to war in different ways that is referred to as mostly spiritual. 2 Corinthians 10, and we study these scriptures a lot. I'm just going to look at verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." The word war here is to make war, or it means an encamped army. So actually, this scripture is talking about like we're serving in a military campaign. In the New Testament, it shows that we are in a type of war. And we can't be led by our senses, our five physical senses, you know, which is the touch, the smell, the see, the hear, you know, those senses. We are to be led by the Spirit. when we are warring. That's very, very important for us to remember. We don't just go out and start, you know, there's some people that take this to extreme and they get nuts with it, you know. Oh, well, we got to do spiritual warfare. Let's go up to the mountain and let's do it up here. Or let's get in an airplane and pray from up on high, all right? Now, I'm not saying God may not tell you one day to go to a mountain and pray for something. Because believe it or not, that happened to my husband and I won't get into that, but it actually had to do with something in Israel many years ago. The Lord did have us pray for things spiritually, do spiritual warfare. But you got to know it's really the Spirit of God. So that's important for us to know that. We don't just flake out. We don't want to be called fruits, flakes, and nuts. Amen? That's a cereal. But it's not in the body. You're not one either, right? Right. But you are a warrior. And you must know these things. And you must know how Jesus, Yeshua, and God himself is a warrior. Amen? I love the scriptures we're about to go to. Isaiah 42. Now, you need to know these scriptures. I'm not going to say that it's mandatory memorization, but these are scriptures that if you don't, in fact, I'm going to write these down, Isaiah 42, 13 to 16. I'll put them on the blackboard. Isaiah 42, 13. You can read the whole chapter. It's a great chapter. But this is a scriptures about the Lord, about God, and about war, and about what how he feels about it. And especially it has to do how he feels about the people, the children of Israel, the Jewish people. Now we can use this for ourselves. If you are a Gentile grafted in, you are in part of you're grafted in to the Israelites, then you are also allowed to use these scriptures. But I always say, remember what these scriptures are used for first. They are used for the children of Israel. Never ever take scriptures that are used for the children of Israel, take them out and just use them for the church. That's wrong. Because God set them here for a reason and a purpose, and they haven't changed. You know, Jesus, Yeshua said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Amen? Isaiah 42 and verse 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have a long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. He's talking about coming against the enemies that are coming against Israel. Now we know that today we are in a battle with Israel. We are in a battle of spiritual warfare. We are in a battle if we love the Jewish people in Israel. We are to do battle in the heavenlies for them. And as we look here, you see all these different sounds. It says in verse 13, the Lord is going forth as a mighty man. It says, he is a man of war, which actually, again, is this master of war. He shall cry. The word cry in verse 13 has the same root meaning of what we learned before in Jeremiah. It's a loud, piercing sound. It means to split the ear with sounds. To mar and split the ear with sounds. Then he says, yes, roar. After he says cry, I'm going to roar. The word roar means to be clear in tone, to shrill. Here's that high sound. A shrill, a cry, and it also means to utter a roar of going to battle, which is pretty much what he's saying. It says he will prevail against his enemies. The word prevail means to overpower. He will overpower his enemies. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then it says, he's held his peace long enough and now he's had enough. Well, you know what? God is saying today, the Spirit of God is saying today, enough in these dead churches. Enough in things that are not from the Spirit of God. And if you're watching and listening, God's saying, enough. I have a long time held my peace. Now it's time for my body to rise up and be who God's called you to be. And be a warrior and go forth and be a battle person. Like, just like I am. Amen? You know the expression, like father, like son? Like mother, like daughter? Well, you know what? That's what it's supposed to be like. Who is our father? The Lord. Amen? God. And God said he's the master of war. I mean, how much more can we get? I mean, I'm giving you the actual meanings of the words. Amen? So he says, I've had enough, you know? Then he goes into, I'm crying like a travailing woman. And we've already learned about travail. It's another weapon of warfare. And in the word cry, it actually means gasp, pant, groan. Every sound there is in there. Gasp, pant, groan. Travail is in there, okay? So what we see here is we see many sounds coming together in warfare, what I call warfare prayer. It may not just be one sound, because the people, as they come together, God may have an anointing on someone that has that shrill sound. The other one may just have a roar. The other one may just be praying in tongues. As long as you're focused in on that same area. Now, when you're coming together to do spiritual warfare, if all of a sudden the leader who's leading it is bringing these type of warfare sounds, it's roaring, it's shrill, it's piercing sounds, right? They're strong sounds. And one person is sitting in a corner and they're kneeling down and they got their hand in their head and they're praying quietly. Well, something's wrong there. Because remember, we just looked in Joshua, and what happened? The people all came together, and they were together in one accord, and that's how they took the city. Amen?
Amen.
So, in a lot of these prayer meetings, and I've been to some of them, and I tell you, my heart grieves on it. Because I think a lot of it is, you know, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, all right? And so when there's a lack of knowledge, people don't know how to pray. And maybe the leaders are not clear. And so many times what happens is in a prayer meeting, people are, you know, one person is over there in a corner and they're doing their own thing over there. The other person is doing warfare. The one in the back is singing to the Lord. Someone over here is bending their knees and just praying and quiet. Something wrong with that. I mean, when you want to do that, do it on your own time. I mean, what God's telling you to do alone. But when you come into corporate prayer, you must be in one accord. There must be a leader, and that person is leading them, just like we saw the priest blew the shofar, and they had an order, and they went together. And so that's the most important thing. And it's also the same thing that we're going to see in the coming weeks when we do praise and worship. There's someone that organized it, so it's not frantic. So you have something over here and something over there, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So spiritual warfare prayer, or whatever prayer, intercession, he has to stay on the same theme. Everybody focused in together. That is how you destroy the enemy. What the enemy wants to do is bring confusion, get you confused, and get you to start complaining and moaning, oh, I don't think that they're right. And then you go do your own thing, and then all of a sudden there's a split, a division, isolation comes, and there's not the unity, and the victory doesn't come through. Is that clear here? It's very important that we understand that. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 14. This is your last scripture in this class for this particular section. 1 Corinthians 14 and in verse 8. It says, for if the war bugle, may say trumpet in your version, for if the trumpet or the war bugle give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So, if you are not getting led, and if you're watching or listening, and you don't have leadership that's leading you correctly, my suggestion to you is you need to pray and seek God. Maybe you need to come out of where you are and go somewhere else where there is a clear sound coming from the pulpit, a clear direction for the people. Because you will not be able to go to battle. You will be defeated. And the sound must be very distinct, very clear, and it must be a sound where people come together. I mean, to close with this, number of years ago, the Spirit of God gave me a prophetic poem for the body of Messiah. And it's on our website, and I wanted to read it tonight also for those of you that are here and those of you that are watching on audio, I'm watching on video and listening on audio. And this is the word that the Spirit of God gave me. O church, can't you hear? I'm blowing my trumpet because the end is near. I'm sending revival to sweep this land. So take your places and see my hand moving and changing in this great land. For Satan is moving too. He's given his marching orders to his crew. He has plots and plans and devices ready to try to deceive many. So wake up, my people, and hear my war cry. It's time for battle stations, and don't ask why. For the hour is coming for my voice to be heard. So be not silent and attend to my word. Get in your places and watch and see how I will defeat the enemy. Praise God. I want you to just meditate on what I just spoke by the Spirit of God. And for those of you that are tuned in to us by video or audio, and those of you sitting here, I want you to check out if you're in your places. And if you're not, just get in them and don't get out. Because we are in the end times. And we need every warrior. God needs every single warrior, no matter how young, how old, to be in their place, to do what God has called us to do, to see this victory through. Amen. God bless you.